Quantum security, will it matter for Algorand, Hedera, or Polygon? We're going to look at that as one of our topics today. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, though. Plenty of stuff going on. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff around AI and Claudebot. Claudebot is kind of taking off, and people are very interesting. As you know, it's now OpenClaw, changed from Claudebot to Moltbot to OpenClaw. So it's changed a few times, obviously. Anthropic didn't seem too happy about it being Claudebot, as you can kind of understand. We're going to talk about that with Algorand, too. So that's coming on an HBAR. We're going to talk about Hedera versus Canton, too, in our HBAR segment. And some interesting points that kind of apply universally, not just to Hedera. So that today, welcome to the show. Hope everyone is doing well out there. If you're watching and you have not hit the like button already, I'd love it if you do that. That really helps show the channel to other people. The audience is a little quiet today. I usually have a couple chats when we start, so very interesting. I'm not sure what's going on with that, but yeah, pop in, say hi. You know how it is. We are live on YouTube, on Kick, on Twitch, and on X, so you can watch us on all those platforms. I gotta say, crypto is, just in general, crypto has been really slow. When the price goes down, people are just not interested, which is funny. And I was just talking with my girlfriend about this last night, that when people are least excited about crypto is usually the best time to buy. And I just find a lot of people struggle with that. You know, it's the nature of euphoric cycles, which is really what I think. I really think the Bitcoin four-year cycle, I think it's less about fundamentals and more about financial euphoria, you know. And there's a great book on that, by the way. It's the History of Financial Euphoria. Great book. Really kind of describes the different euphoric cycles. And we see that with Bitcoin. So I think it's more narrative driven than anything, than it is technical. I think people just believe it's going to go up. And when people see it going up, more people get excited about going up, and it's contagious. It's like a social contagion. I think I probably shouldn't say that word. I think that's a phrase that gets you banned on YouTube, or at least it used to, but it seems to be the case. So anyway, lots of stuff to get to. I haven't even looked at the prices this morning. I've just been kind of buying some dips, generally speaking. And so that's what I'm doing. A few more people popping in. Like I said, hit that like button. Also, you can follow me on X at FrugalBC. So my handle is now at FrugalBC, and I just realized I have to update my YouTube settings because I think it has the old one included in there yet. So got the branding. Changing the branding, you might notice that on the channel and the X on my X account, just kind of refreshing it and having kind of a consistent brand, which hasn't been one of my specialties. I had the AI platforms help design it. So it's kind of nice. It's kind of handy for stuff like that. I'm still making the creative decisions, but it's kind of helping me walk through the process, which is pretty cool. Also, you can hear this podcast at your leisure. Obviously, you can replay it on YouTube, but you can also listen to it on your favorite podcast platform. I cut out some of the spaces and try to clean it up a little bit, boost the audio and stuff like that. So, but that's going pretty well. People are starting to notice the podcast, which is pretty cool. I think it's nice to have. I know, like, you know, Wolf of All Streets, I like to download that one. I don't like to watch it on YouTube necessarily. I think it's fun to have it when you're walking around. So you can check that out on your favorite podcast platform. And if you would leave it a 5-star review, we'd really appreciate that. Let's see. I don't know if I have anything else to get to. I think we can, obviously we'll have some stuff to talk about with Haystack when we get to it, but, all right. Well, actually I should pull that up. I should pull up the coin market cap. And, you know, it's kind of a mess. So let's get into the charts. We'll go with full screen share, move this back here. And yeah, about as bad as you might expect. Total market cap is down today. We're sitting at 2.36 trillion. Now remember at the high, and we're in extreme fear, by the way, extreme fear at 10. We were actually at 5 before. So this is an improvement over our last live stream. Pretty heavily weighted toward alt season, and also we're no longer oversold. So remember what I told you, those oversold periods are often a really good dip time. When the RSI is super duper low, that's usually a good sign that things are going to turn around. And they usually do. They have. It's not like dramatic, obviously. You know, we see Bitcoin still down on the week by 10%, sitting just under 70,000. It was up above that. Ethereum still holding that 2,000 line. It was briefly below that. And I did buy a little dip. Definitely bought these two dips, by the way. Boy, you guys are really quiet. What's up, low battery guy? Thanks for being in here. Appreciate that. Wish it was a timestamp, but nice to have someone on Kick. We have not gotten too many comments on Kick, so it's nice to have a comment there. Appreciate you chiming in, my friend. But yeah, this is the buy time, you know. Even now, I would say this is definitely a buy time, and it's when most people are just simply not paying attention to crypto. So going down, let's see what the outliers are. Actually, I'm going to keep the multi-chat on so I see all of them. Something called Pippin is popping off at 50% on the 24-hour, followed by River, Stable, Aster actually up a little bit, Quant with a little bit of gain, even a little gain from Canton. We're going to follow Canton later on, but it actually is down 10% on the week. This is one of those coins that's been gaining when others are not gaining. So we're going to look more deeply at that in our our Hedera versus Canton. And it easily could be Algorand versus Canton too. So, you know, we'll look at both of those. But I don't know. Canton has caught my notice. So I've been paying attention to that one lately. Sky not doing too much. Morpho, World Liberty Financial. You know, these are all, now we're getting down to less than 1%. How about the 7-day... And it's Pippin again, which just had a huge pump. I haven't heard of this one. One of the new ones popping into the top 100, as is something called Humanity Protocol, up 30%. Decred, 30%. River, at 21%. So we're seeing a lot of these new ones kind of pop into the top 100. I think we saw River last week. Sky's up there. Sky's been in the top 100 for a little while now. Aster, of course. By the way, Aster and Canton, I don't think you can get either one on Coinbase, which is crazy. I know you can't with Canton. Let's check out Aster for a second here. This takes a little while to load. Actually, you can get this one on Coinbase. Huh. But not Canton is from what I've seen. Earlier, you couldn't. A lot of times when you get them on Coinbase, it's too late. Actually, look, we got Hedera up 1% on the week. Well, that's something, right? once again, I point out, and you know, let's look at the losers here. You rarely see Algorand and Hedera. Sometimes you see Hedera on the top gainers, but you rarely see Algorand on the top gainers or losers, which is interesting. So, yeah, Decred, which is actually was on the top 10 for weekly, is actually on the top 10 for daily losses, which is interesting. CurveDAO down, MYX Finance, Aptos, Jupiter, Bicket Token, KuCoin. So you got a couple of exchange tokens not doing so hot. Pudgy Penguins down, Pi, Pump.Fun. I would expect Pump.Fun to do well just because that platform is hyper extractive, which is good, you know, bad for the users, but good for revenue, right? Which is kind of what we're going to touch on later. Yeah, Jupiter in the top loser. That is a Solana token. There's a Jupiter platform. Aptos, 21% down. Trump coin keeps falling. BitGet again. BNB is actually down quite a bit. BitTensor, Pudgy Penguins, Dash, Sui. And Sui is really, boy, that's a... Now, that is way under my average buy. I actually bought into some Sui during the dip because it's down... And it's down even more below my average buy, which it had been. I took a ton of profit on Sui. I'm actually in the black permanently on Sui because I took so much off the table. So people used to trash me. People would absolutely trash me for taking profits. And to me, if it's not Bitcoin or Ethereum, I think you should take profits when you have the chance. Because you really don't know what they're going to do in the next cycle. Look, Polygon, we're going to get into Polygon today, down at 9 cents now. It was actually up to 15 cents. I've been down on that for a hot minute. Even Solana making this list kind of further down. But why don't we go to Haystack, our sponsor, and check out the Algorand coins. And, you know, they do it a little differently, and I kind of wish they didn't include some of these other coins. They do it by volume. No, they don't do it by volume, do they? Or do they? Nope. It's by TVL, which is, I guess it's a way to do it if you want to. We're going to have to, let's go like this. Here we go. Sorry about that. Now, Haystack, again, like we said, these are a channel sponsor, and they are doing... It started off as non-fungible domains. They are now Haystack, and they do such great work. They really do. Big fan of these guys. So Haystack, if it's the easiest way to trade, cheapest way, they find the cheapest route for you. Now they have auto yield, so even when you're not trading, your assets are earning you money passively. So that's always fun. It'll find the best yield for your tokens. And well, that's it for that. Let's get to trying to look for some outliers. I mean, everything's down. Almost everything is down double digits on the week, with some popping up a little bit in the last hour. But yeah, even Alpha Arcade down to 5% and 17% on the week. Oh, I'm sorry, looking at the wrong one here. 6% and 17%, so not that different. And sitting under 2 cents now. So it might be, I think I'm due for another buy on Alpha, so maybe I'll make that buy when we got a dip in. Anyone doing positively? Gold Dow down here, you can't see it because my face is in the way here, but that is 92 cents, and it is up to 270% on the week. There's Gold Dow, and then there's Flat Out Gold. That one's down a little bit. I say I woke up this morning and my Meld Gold was up quite a bit. It's like it's back up to where I was, but yeah, there's just nothing doing spectacular. There's one called Epstein's Island. See, the thing is, when I kind of wish they limited this to the top 100 or so, because you get a lot of these like brand new ones that pump up. PBS, something new, Epstein's Island, Box State Bash, Crypto Media Treasures, Compex actually having quite a turnaround. So maybe some confidence in their new direction where they're tamping down. Crypto Media, spelled with an I, is up. Vladimir Sovka says, thanks for watching, Vladimir. Appreciate you being here. Munko actually up 8% on the week. So that's pretty bullish. That's one that we, you know, pay attention to. I've heard of the Kindness one. Frynode, that one's been around a little while. But you look at these top ones, and they're mostly newer stuff. And I imagine the weekly is kind of the same. I'm just seeing if there's anything recognizable. Because some of these are just brand new coins, and then they just kind of pump out of the gate. Kind of wish there was a way to filter that, but oh well. So that is the Algorand coins. Let's look at Hedera coins. To that, we're heading over to SaucerSwap. Not a sponsor, but I think they should be, if I'm being 100% honest. And kind of going through, looking very similar with everything just kind of down a little bit. Now, remember last Friday, everything was just skyrocketing. Sauce, you know, sitting at 1.5 cents. I remember when this was up to 18 cents, maybe even higher. It might have been higher. I had a little bit of Sauce and suddenly it was worth some money. And then, you know, kind of back down. But, you know, I think the thing to remember is a lot of these coins, they just kind of follow the market. So there's some that move counter to the market, and those are interesting. Gib at 9% down. That one's dropped a lot. This is the one that, this one's really volatile. It was way up last week. Do you remember that? One of the best, one of the top ones for being up, and then it was down. Okay, this is the HTS version of Quant. That's why that's up. This one called Mouth is up 2.5%. Don't know a lot about that one. I don't know LCX. Apparently it's a synthetic of a different crypto. MFM is up 2%. A little bit on GC, gold coin. Hashtree, I don't remember this one. I don't remember seeing that one before. DOSA is down 13% on the day. That's a big daily move. Sarah's down 5%. That's kind of a lot. Otherwise, yeah, not a lot to talk about on the Hedera coins. So that's all we got. Oh, I'm sorry. That probably could have been better. Balzi says, while our kids are being captured and eaten, you're talking about crypto god members who turns a blind eye. What? This is a crypto channel. What do you expect me to talk about? Some of you people. Oh, good God. How did you even find this channel? It's so weird. So, like, everybody... Let me get this straight. Let me get this straight, Balzi. So everybody on the planet right now has to talk about the thing you want people to talk about. And nobody can talk, no matter what their specialty is, no matter what they're doing, your premise is that everyone has to stop and talk about the one thing that you care about because you're so important in the world. Do I got that right, Balzi? Do I have that right? Balzi 79618. You know, you can go talk about that on your channel. You can talk whatever you want on your channel. But how about on my channel, I talk about crypto because crypto is what my channel is about. Sound good? Does that sound like a plan, Balzi? Does that sound like a plan? Hit the like button if you want me to keep talking crypto. And you know what? Hit the dislike button if you want me to talk about something else. Let's do that. Here we go. Oh my God. Oh, it's so funny. It's so funny. Where do these people come from? This is one of the attitudes I can't stand when it's like, oh, there's one thing I really, really care about in the world. So you have to talk about that and nothing else. Everyone in the world has to talk about that. Unbelievable. Well, anyway, we're going to keep talking crypto. Wycat's in the chat. What is going on? Got a little kitty. Appreciate that. Hopefully enjoying my rant about people wanting me to not talk about crypto. Because that's my channel. Sorry. That's what we're talking about. I mean, hey, I could talk about the genocide in Sudan too, but can I say that? Will that get me kicked off? That might get me kicked off. Well, you know, that's not what my channel is. There's a lot of problems in the world. I would say worse than that, frankly. There's countries where people are just dying en masse right now. That's far worse, you know, if we want to make comparisons. All right, I'm going to get back to crypto news because this is getting out of hand. I've heard people like it when I rant, though. That's what I've heard anyway. Well, it definitely worked. people are tuning in now. They liked my little rant. So, okay, let's get on to the next. I just wonder how these people find my channel. Like, you can care about whatever you want to care about. You don't have to care about a crypto, but then I don't know why you're watching my channel. Boy, I gotta say, I don't get the X reach that I used to. It's really, really kind of gone down lately. And, you know, when I ask Grok, it says there's no restrictions on my account, but I used to get, like, you know, over 100 views. Anyway, we'll start with our Algorand segment. I think we got some fun stuff to talk about today, so we'll get to that. So as you know, once I start my segment, my response to chats is fairly limited. You know, if it's relevant to what I'm talking about, I'll bring it up. but if it's outside, because I clip these for YouTube later. So please keep it on topic, or if you don't, that's fine. You know, just expect that I'll wait till the end. And like button, I see we got a lot of new users, so remember to hit that like button. Helps helps send the channel around to more people. I appreciate that. And boy, you don't have our regulars here today, but I know Thursdays or Tuesdays are a little, they're our slower stream because it's the newer one. And if you're new here, unless you're expecting me to talk about some other topic that's not crypto, please hit the subscribe button. I appreciate that. All right, we're going to begin. Let me get a drink of water. Algorand and Cloudbound, is it the perfect combination or a security risk? We're going to look at this and some other topics on our Algorand news today, but it's a very interesting topic. Now, someone created, from the Algorand Foundation, created VibeKit, which is made to work with AI agents like Claude Code and all that other stuff, and even Claudebot, which is not the same. I know it's not called Claudebot anymore. It's now, it was switched to Moltbot very briefly, and then it switched to OpenClaw, which is the name that it retains to this day. But let's check out some of these. You know, there, some people have been bringing some security concerns with this idea of using this new agent kit to code smart contracts right into your favorite vibe coding thing. Let's take a look here. All right, so we got Gabe. .algo. Now, Gabe created the VibeKit, and which basically allows you to use any of your vibe coding platforms like Claude Code or Codex, I think is the other one from Chatbot or ChatGPT, excuse me, or you know, even for some of these agents. But Gabe had an interesting point. He says, "I've seen the security discussions around Git VibeKit. The risks AI introduce are real, and these tools are pushing us to fix long-standing problems faster. So here's my thread with some thoughts. I really want your feedback. What worries you most? Should I delete VibeKit?" I think, actually, no. I'm going to say no right off the top. I just don't think that's the, I don't think that's the solution. I think we got to, like, make it better. So can we actually make agentic coding safer than the current status quo? Be brutally honest, drop below or DM me. Let's see what people said, because I'm curious. Did he have more of a thread? And here's the discussion. In fact, yeah, why don't we read this really quick? Is this going to show up well? Kind of related, quantum will affect everything. Blockchains have to be quantum secure by 2030. And we're going to get, we'll touch on that in a minute. We will touch on that. Vibe coded contracts. I'm not going to lie, I'm a bit torn about VibeKit. I love that people can be empowered to quickly spin up apps using AI in a vibe coding capacity. However, as a developer, I can't help but to think about all the potential exploits that will surface in apps developed by those who understand security or app development in general. Am I alone? This one says, you're not alone. The one thing that vibe coding consistently gets wrong is security. I can understand this this point of view, because, you know, if you don't have an expert, you have to be, you know, in vibe coding. And some people are very, very gifted coders who use vibe coding anyway. But then some people are people like me that might play around with it. And, you know, maybe I'm screwing up the security. I think that is a concern. Somebody said, I should add that none of this means Algorand smart contracts can be vibe coded without being reviewed. Contracts that hold financial value need to follow best practices and require real software engineering experience. VibeKit accelerates your workflow. It doesn't replace your judgment, which means if you're creating this and you're not an expert on this stuff, you should probably at least have someone review it. That would probably be pretty smart. Just keep in mind, you're still responsible for what gets deployed. 100%. 100%. So I think that kind of sums up what I think about it here, is that I really think you do have to be careful with this stuff. And see, Alexander Codes says, definitely don't delete it. Agentic coding will soon be the only form of coding. Same for auditing and security analysis. So I think actually, instead of deleting something, I just don't think that's where we're going. Well, I'm going to follow VibeKit for sure. I don't think deleting it is the response. I think enhancing security or putting in best practices, maybe some kind of maybe something included that says, hey, this is maybe potentially insecure. You should have someone review this before you publish it. Something like that, I think, is more the solution. But I think this stuff is interesting to talk about. Speaking of quantum, I want to address this comment because it is relevant. People talking about quantum security by 2030. Well, I think 2030, just to start off with, 2030 is like maybe where we start having the kind of quantum computing that could actually potentially break cryptography. But I'm going to tell you, and I think there's some smart voices, people smarter than me, that pointed this out. Just because something is not quantum secure doesn't mean it's necessarily a target. Crypto, while we are very crypto focused, the entire crypto market cap is smaller than some of the top companies, single companies. So not to mention like the banks, the banking system and the banks, far more insecure right now, and just potentially bigger targets. So if you had some of the first quantum computers that could truly break cryptography, you want a return on your investment, so you're going to go for the big ones. And I'm going to say stuff like Algorand or Hedera, it's just not big enough to be a target. Now, maybe by then it will be. That's possible. But those other things are probably going to be bigger too. So we'll see how that plays out. But it's not necessarily. It's one thing to think about is that crypto might not actually be that much of a target compared to other more lucrative targets. But we got more Algorand news to get through. Let's go through Akita Social, which will be launching soon. They're going to be giving away reaction sticker packs for free with each smart wallet created. So that's interesting. I've been following this one. I'm going to keep an eye on this Akita because they're starting to build some. They're building like a social protocol and apparently a wallet too. So I'm kind of like keeping an eye on that one in the background. This is big, guys. This is really big. You can make predictions on Alpha Arcade. You guys know I've covered Alpha Arcade for a while. It's built on the Algorand blockchain, and it's a prediction market, just like Polymarket or Kalshi. And it's actually number three in numbers of transactions. Now, volume, actual dollar volume is quite a bit lower, so it's not been super competitive in the dollar amount yet, but now they are adding credit card pay, Apple Pay, and all major cryptocurrencies. So pretty much anyone will be able to use this, and I think this is gonna be a big unlock. I think you're gonna see some really big moves with this. So keep an eye out for that. And by the way, this is the thing in question, the Vibe Kit from prompt to mainnet. So I kind of skipped over this, but this basically allows you to help. It's a kit that allows you to use AI to write Algorand code. So you can write the smart contracts. And for some reason, I thought I saved it, but did I miss it? All right, let me step out a second because I want to show you this. I thought this was kind of cool. I'm actually kind of surprised. Yeah, I wanted to show you guys this because this is Mark Vandelberg. He is the chief marketing officer and strategy officer. I keep forgetting that little aspect of Algorand, and he used VibeKit to code up this app. Now the app is he says it's pretty incredible what VibeKit in combination with your favorite LLM can accomplish. I gave it a try over the weekend and created Zingo, a Web3 Venmo-style P2P payment app. It supports direct payments, send USDC to registered users, escrow payments, send to an email address, recipient claims via a secure link, social login with Google, Apple X, or Facebook. Fee abstraction, users never pay algo fees, a logic SIG covers all the transaction costs. Social feed, see the payments, public payments in Venmo, in a Venmo style feed. I never liked that, by the way. Do people like this? I really don't like it. I don't need to see other people paying other people. Like, I find that unnecessary. It's probably why I don't use Venmo very often. I usually prefer to use PayPal. And PWA support, install as an app on iOS or Android via add to home screen. That's a pretty key element because you don't have to go through all the rigmarole of going through the App Store, which is very anti-crypto these days. I think they're starting to back off a little bit, but it can be pretty challenging. So he used VibeKit plus Claude Code to deploy this on testnet. And by the way, I always thought this was an app that should exist just in general, right? I mean, this is one of the things that I thought, why don't you have this? I don't understand. This is like the obvious, easy way to get money from one person to another. You could actually charge a small fee and just clean up over Western Union, because the idea is for it to be like the crypto is extracted, which is what he's doing here. I think that's great. But let's go back to what you were saying about VibeKit because who knows? This would have to, you'd really want someone smart in blockchain security to go through this and make sure that you didn't leave some kind of exploit in the code. So, you know, if you're going to play around with this stuff, I think you got to be really careful. It can be kind of dangerous. I mean, it's really helpful. I really think it's cool that it could open up a huge unlock for people, but you got to be careful. You got to be really careful. So anyway, I think that's actually our Algorand segment for today. Thanks for tuning into that. Not a lot of Algorand comments today. We've got YCAT saying people are weird. Carry on. I appreciate that. Yeah, I don't get people who feel like you have to talk about it. Who even knows? Like, it could just be a random. You get these random comments sometimes, and it is what it is. So we got a decent little audience. If you haven't hit the like button already, really appreciate it if you did that now. It really helps show the channel to more people. We're trying to get this out to people, so if you could do that, I appreciate that a lot. If you're new here, be sure to subscribe. And by the way, I have a new newsletter on Beehive. It's actually my old one. I moved it from Substack to Beehive, so be sure to keep an eye out for that. I haven't shared the link yet. I want to get a couple posts on there before I do that. But we will be going over there, so we will be posting on there more starting Friday, so keep an eye out for that. I believe it's just frugalbc.beehive. Let me check, actually. Yeah, frugalbc.beehive, and that is beehiv.com. In fact, I will leave that in the chat so you guys can subscribe. Let me just pull that up really quick. Anyone buying the dips today? I'd love to hear that. Let me know in the chat. E-H-I-I. I want to hear what you guys are up to. Oh, that was Shark. Yeah, Shark. There, I put it in the chat for you guys if you want to subscribe to that. Like I said, there's not much there right now. I just moved it over from Substack because I have a bigger business on Substack and I kind of want to keep the publication simple. Okay. Well, I got two more segments and one is Hedera and one is on Polygon. So we will get to both of those. Oops. Well, you know the drill, guys. Once we start our segment, we try to keep all comments relative to that segment. If not, I save them for after the end of the segment. But we're going to get into our Hedera one next. Hedera versus Canton. Should Hedera fans be concerned about this? And frankly, this could apply to Algorand as well. So pay attention, both fan bases, because I think this is something that's pretty important. This little piece comes from Elon Trades, who's had some pretty interesting posts. And this one comparing HBAR to Canton is pretty interesting. Hedera is interesting, but has some fundamental problems when you compare it to Canton. Again, the same thing we're going to apply just about to Algorand, but let's get into it. What's real? Legitimate Enterprise Governance Council, Google, IBM, Boeing, LG, real institutional pilots with Lloyds Banking Group, Archax, Shinhan Bank, first U.S. listed HBAR ETF, 10,000 TPS capability. Not really been tested yet, by the way. We just don't have the volume on there. Low fees, they've done some genius RWA work, including tokenized UK gilts, uses FX collateral. They claim 10 million plus in RWA settlements processed. So where does this fall apart as an investment? So I think this is an important point, by the way, because we need to separate price action and investment from technology. The tech doesn't one doesn't necessarily have to do with the other. You can have really, really great tech, as we've seen, and the price will just tank, you know, and vice versa. You know, stuff like Solana, which has all the problems that we've highlighted numerous times, it keeps screwing up. You know, it goes down, transactions fail, validators are fleeing it, and yet the volume is high, so it keeps making money. Let's get into this. The token doesn't accrue meaningful value. HBAR fees are denominated in USD and converted to HBAR at execution. This is by design to keep fees predictable and cheap for enterprises. Great for adoption, terrible for token holders. The cheaper and more predictable the fees, the less HBAR demands there is per transaction. There's a partial burn mechanism on fees, but it's negligible at current volumes. 50 billion tokens pre-minted, all of them, no scarcity event coming. The treasury just keeps distributing more into circulation on a schedule. By the way, kind of same for Algorand. Not exactly, but kind of. It's the opposite of Canton, where you have burn mint dynamics driving toward deflation. I'm really starting to think these burn mint dynamics are really important. We've seen those with some of the coins that are produced on Algorand. When they add this, it tends to keep the price more stable. Zoipilot says 10K TPS have been tested, but has not been sustained. And I mean, like, when I say tested, I mean, like, actual native happening in the wild. Like, Algorand has had blocks that have gone actually up to 15,000 transactions. Like, I want to see it in practice, not in, like, some kind of test. So anyway, bigger structural problem. Hedera is a public ledger. They launched Hashsphere in 2025 to offer hybrid public-private capability, which is basically them admitting that public only doesn't work for institutions. And we've seen that. This is not a surprise, by the way. In fact, Silvio Micali created the fiat chain for that very reason, because a lot of enterprises, they just institutions, they don't want a public-only blockchain or DLT, as is the case with Hedera. He says, but it's a bolt-on, not native architecture. Canton was built privacy first. From day one, I think that's actually pretty smart. Now, I am not an expert on Canton, so, you know, I'm basically going by what he says on this. I definitely would like to look into Canton more. I don't own any right now, so just to be clear, and I do own Hedera. And look at who's actually building on each. Hedera has Lloyds and Archax doing a pilot with tokenized gilts. Canton has DTCC, Goldman, JP Morgan, BNP, Paribas, NASDAQ, and 39 super validators processing hundreds of billions daily. It's not the same weight class. HBAR trades on narrative, not cash flows. Again, you could say the same thing with Algorand. There hasn't been, the cash flow isn't there for either of these tokens. A token is basically a governance and gas token for a network that intentionally keeps gas cheap. That's a structural ceiling on the value accrual, no matter how much adoption grows. And Kimchi, I want to read Kimchi's comments. He says, however, Hedera is not only built for the financial sector, but also must be capable to use every sector's can be existed in the world. Yeah, Kimchi is Korean, so forgive. That might even be a translation. So I kind of highlighted this. I said HBAR fans won't like this one, but cash flow and crypto is something I've been paying attention to a lot more lately. So I took a look into this, and Canton actually brings nearly 2 million per day in transaction fees. So we're talking hundreds of millions per year. And Hedera, when I looked it up, made about 13,000 in fees a few days ago. Now, there are other revenue sources. I know Chainlink offers like non-blockchain services, including and on-chain services. And it takes some of those off-chain revenues and puts them onto the chain, which is pretty cool. But this is something I'm thinking about, because if you're using the tech, that's one thing. And if you're not, you know, if you're just investing in the coin, well, that's another matter. So I think we got to keep these things separate. Now, AlgoBro said Hedera 8x'd their transaction fees last year, right? That is true. They went from Is it 0.0001 to 0.0008, something like that? And, you know, there's been talk about this on Algorand as well, because the fees just aren't there. Mike Maloney and Brandon said it best. It's really hard to know. HBAR Tech has won already at it. Well, it's good tech. I think Algorand and Hedera are both great tech. So anyway, I just thought that's worth considering to think about. I know people get kind of mad if you're a Hedera fan and you hear this, but you got to think about this. You know, I think about this as someone who owns a lot of Algorand and a pretty decent amount of Hedera too. You know, I like the tech. I mean, but that doesn't mean the value is going to accrue to you. So I thought that was a really important point to bring up. We got some more news though. Accenture unveils nav.ai agentic platform built on Hedera at Reaim 2026. Accenture showcased its nav.ai agentic platform at Reaim 26 in A Coruña, demonstrating how AI can operate responsibly in high-stakes environment. Verifiable, production-ready AI, the demo focused on trust, not just performance, using verifiable compute, cryptographic assurance, and immutable audit trails. This approach records AI decisions that execute in a verifiable way, embedding transparency and accountability by design. This is powered by Equity Lab, Hedera, and Dell AI Factory. AI governance and verification. Hedera delivers the immutable trust layer Dell All Factory supplies and enterprise compute infrastructure, together enabling tamper-proof, production-ready AI for real-world environments. Accenture's message was clear. Responsible AI is moving from theory to production. Trust, transparency, and accountability must be engineered into AI systems, not just discussed. Zoid, I don't talk about my volumes except in my channel member platform, so you can find it out there. It's a really bad idea to talk about your totals on here, on public like this. Dovu, yesterday on the Hedera network, Dovu transactions were 11.8% of the total HDS transactions on the Hedera mainnet. Take a look at the image below for details. The source was ChatGPT 5.2 in HGraph dev mode. Interesting. So big shout out for the Dovu token. And by the way, speaking of Dovu, building to scale, you need to work with global partners. We are looking forward to launching Dovu on Kraken. So apparently Kraken is about to list the Dovu token. Now, if you're wondering what Dovu is, trust infrastructure for assets and agents, programmable coordination, verifiable memory, tokenized logic built on Hedera. And I thought this was interesting, but it's kind of, it requires a little context. A huge surge in USDC payments on HBAR right now, 30% over the past week, 18.5% over the past 24 hours, 27% over the past hour alone, 14.2 million was transferred on USDC and 8.4 million on HBAR. 59% of USD transfers in the past 24 hours was on Hedera. And that's fine, but this is a lot of... This is still not a huge number. So I think to put that in context, like, it's good. You know, I'm glad it's going up, but this is still a pretty small number because this has typically been like 100... Wait, hold on a second. Hey, 72.8 billion. That's a lot. I'm not sure how to read those numbers exactly. And Canary Capital increases its HBAR ETF exposure as of February 9th. Capital Canary now holds 532.7 million HBAR in its ETF. That represents 1% of Hedera's total supply, which is 50 billion. That's a lot. As he says, it's a notable allocation for a regulated vehicle, signaling continued institutional interest in Hedera's network and long-term role in digital market infrastructure. And last on stablecoin news, I thought we'd take a look at this. New Rails launches EURW, a Euro stable token on Hedera. New Rails is introducing EURW, a one-to-one Euro-backed stablecoin on Hedera network. Now, Algorand has had these for a while. They're good to have. It allows you, it just opens up a new market for you. And it's structured as a MiCA-compliant electronic money token issued by New Rails UAB, licensed EMI supervised by the Bank of Lithuania. I don't know much about the Bank of Lithuania, but you can kind of tell some of these are AI generated. It doesn't mean they're bad, but I mean, they just seem like written for the algorithm or something. But so anyway, some good news on Algorand on Hedera, and some things to consider as well. But thanks for tuning in for our Hedera segment. BSL Token Bank Social just bumped up their LP to 1 million built on Hedera. There you go. For Loicom, so Savannah Consensus Mechanism Antelope Technology has won. The blockchain for that, no one, spelled as one, is allowed. It actually is ALLOWED to speak on such things. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure people are banned from speaking about your favorite crypto. We're really getting them in today, aren't we? I appreciate everyone hitting the like button. I can see our likes have grown. And if we could hit that a couple more times, if you haven't already hit it, I'd appreciate that before we get to our next segment. And just a reminder that you can listen on the go to the Frugal BC podcast. So you can find that in your favorite podcast platform, wherever you get your podcasts, it's there. And if you give it a 5-star review, it'll make us happy. And that's always good, right? But we've been growing over time here. So nice to see that audience is picking up good. Even on X, going up a little bit. Zoid Pilot liked. I appreciate that. I appreciate that, my friend. Got one more segment, and it's on Polygon. We haven't done Polygon for a while. Yeah, we got some good, interesting things to talk about. Won't be a huge segment, but Peace Tree says, did you read about Saudi Arabia first ever tokenized property title deed transfer? We can take a break. I can look at that. Let me see. Just give me a second here. Saudi closes first tokenized property deed transaction. National property law registry rules enforced directly within settlement infrastructure. The Kingdom of Saudi Arabia has achieved a global milestone in the digitalization of capital markets with the successful execution of the world's first sovereign native tokenized property title deed transfer, marking the direct integration of the kingdom's real estate registry with Drop RWA's blockchain transfer layer. This infrastructure, notes Drop RWA. Well, I'm really doing good, aren't I, Peacetree? Drop RWA, a provider of regulator native sovereign tokenized infrastructure, reduces property settlement times from days to mere seconds, transforming once illiquid physical territory into highly liquid programmable assets. This enhances the attractiveness of Saudi real estate market for foreign direct investment and is in line with digital frameworks of Saudi vision. So, I think this stuff is interesting, and I think it could be really good. I think they used an Algorand subchain, really. Well, let's look up what Drop RWA is. I'm just looking to see if they have anything to... Oh, yeah. Drop RWA's Trust Stack uses Algorand's blockchain for secure, transparent, and compliant asset management. Well, that's interesting. Algorand provides the necessary speed and security, offering sub-3-second block finality, which is crucial for real-time asset trading. It's all NDA. Well, it's out there somewhere. That's interesting. I'll say, Here's what I'll say about that. I think that makes a lot of sense, and I'm actually surprised I don't see much about this being shared. We might have to tweet about that later. Thanks for the heads up. Probably talk more about it on our Friday show, but that's a pretty big deal. What was the newswire? I want to check out this newswire, and then we'll get to our Polygon segment. I guess if it's an NDA, that's why they don't talk about it, but it seems to be out there. Because they don't mention a specific blockchain, which is interesting. I want to keep that up so I can tweet about it later. Okay, next for our Polygon segment, you know the drill. I only talk about stuff that's relevant during the segment. Anything off topic, we'll talk about afterwards. Oh man, my thing was off for the holes. How come you guys didn't say something? Oh, it was off for the whole segment. Oh man. All right, maybe I'll record that one. Jeez. This is why I don't like to mute my mic, because it's so easy to forget to unmute it. I wish I had like one of those buttons where you just hold it down and it's muted and it goes away when you take it off. But, well, I'm impressed that you guys stuck with it. But no one commented until just now. Did other people comment? I saw one person just said, I can't hear either. I just noticed my waveform wasn't going. I'm just not muting my mic anymore because it's just so easy to forget. All right, well, my voice is killing. Otherwise, I would just redo the Polygon segment, but it's just about dead. So, well, thanks for tuning in anyway, guys. I appreciate that. And sorry for the Polygon thing. We'll just have to, maybe I'll just record that or I'll save it for next week. But sorry for anyone who tuned in for Polygon. It's like, it's so frustrating. All right.